This is Michelle. How do you pronounce your last name?
Garel.
Garel? Okay. And this is Louise. Hi, Louise. And so why don't you, I know that I sent the behavior history format, but if you would just tell us about Louie anyway, and you have to talk loud, Michelle. I'm
okay.
Sorry.
So, let's see. I guess it would be important to say that my sister's dog died in October, and I saw him on the internet, and not to replace her dog or anything, I just, we would always go, oh, this is Sancho's cousin, or, you know, like, something like that.
Which was her other dog as well?
Yeah, they were similar, yeah. And this was just a lost dog. Didn't need a foster or anything like that, and my sister was like, oh my gosh, and we had never lost a dog, so I didn't know how to, like, what was appropriate, what wasn't, but she wanted to foster the dog, so I emailed the person. They didn't find his owner, and so he became a rocket dog, and between my sister and I, we fostered him, but he was so petrified that I more so fostered him than she did.
Okay, and his background is?
He was found in Richmond, California by two Good Samaritans, and he didn't have a collar on or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all we know about.
Yeah, that's all you know.
He had really bad teeth. We had to go get his teeth extracted and neutered.
Okay.
But other than that, he was health-wise, he was okay.
Okay, and so then you fostered him?
Yeah, and so very early on, like right when we got him from the woman, and you could tell she was holding on to him and she didn't want to give him back, you know, to us, because she knew like how fearful he really was, and it was a big deal, you know, for him to go to another person. And she actually told us that he wasn't good with cats. And we have cats, and he's totally fine with them. So I don't know where that came
so
from.
So you think that maybe she was kind of reaching for things?
Yeah, because she had a cat and a dog, and he was totally fine. It was there with their cat, too. So,
I would think, being that size, he has no choice.
So we actually, the first week that we had him, we were all at our house in Santa Cruz together, so he was with us all and all our dogs, and he was fine with all of our dogs, even my two German Shepherds, not like fearful of them at all. So that's why I know like fearful dogs are more keen to trust other dogs versus people, but I think also the way he was, it made me think that he was around other dogs,
mm-hmm.
because besides her, she had a pit bull that he was friends with. She only had him for a week. So I don't know, I just assumed that it was other dogs, just because he showed no fear towards my big dogs at all. But yeah, so the first week, he didn't really want to be picked up or around us at all. Putting a collar on him or a harness, he was very fearful, trying to walk, and he just wouldn't walk. Like, he just was just petrified and just looking around and like, oh my God. And even if it was the place in Santa Cruz is in the mountains, it's very quiet, and it was just too much, and it was just too scary for him. Even if we put him on the deck, he would like, we would be out there with him with our dogs, and he would just go like on the, like as close as he could to the house. Like, he would like to go along like a wall or like a fence or something. I think he felt more safe. Anyways, my sister put him in bed with her, and he was like, get away from me.
Oh.
So he like ran into another room, and our dogs always sleep with us in the same room at least. We tried putting him in a crate, but he didn't really like it. I'm trying to think if we, I don't remember if I put him in a crate. I think, no, he just slept in the room, but in a bed, like on his own. But he would like just try to be away from us. Like, he didn't want anything to do with us. My sister, she loves to give dogs kisses. So that's what, her dog, he allowed her to give him a million kisses. So yeah, he would growl. He wasn't used to being kissed, and obviously dogs, that's not something they do naturally. But why should they do? I mean, they do lick each other.
They love somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. Once they know them, yeah. So I don't know how it even came about, but like, he was just so scared of our faces. Like, he would do the avoidance, and so I got sweet potato chips. I would put them in my mouth, and it took him a while. Like, he was so fearful to come near my face, that it took him a while, but eventually he started taking the sweet potato chips, they're for dogs, from my mouth. And then I started to put a cue on that. And so when I feed him his raw food, he would touch his nose to my nose. And I have him do that with my mom and my brother. And he's, I feel like because of that, he trusts them more now, as before.
Did he ever nip anybody?
No.
He just growled.
Just growled, yeah.
Doesn't have any teeth anyways.
He has a bunch, but some of them are missing, but he could bite them, yeah. And then for walking, I would put his harness on, and his harness is, he like steps into it, and every time we would, he just wouldn't want to walk, and so every time, I would have treats, like having him, come along to walk and follow me. And whenever I would see somebody or another dog, I would have a treat ready for him and talking to him and petting him. And if it was like a dog walker coming, then I would kneel down with him and talk to him and have treats ready for him in case they were too much and came over to scare him. But usually I walk him like where it's quiet. But I live in the city, so I can't always, know what's, going to happen.
Uh-huh. So you live in San Francisco?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And yeah, he constantly just yawns, licks his lips. He does the gentle chucking, gnaws on his back feet, licks them a lot, but like gnaws on them. Like a chicken wing.
Has he ever caused any kind of hair loss on his back legs
it's hard to say. He has fur on his legs, on his paws and everything, but I feel like, maybe because he licks them so much, there's not as much hair, because you can see a little bit of skin.
Yeah, okay.
What else?
So right now, talk about his life that he needs right now and what he does now, and what would you like him to do?
So right now, he sleeps in bed with me, thankfully. and he'll go outside every morning. We get up, they go to the backyard, and I let them out the other way upstairs to the kitchen.
And there's two dogs
now? Yeah, so I live with my mother, and I have two dogs, and she has two dogs.
So there are a total of four dogs, mm-hmm. And your other dog is a?
I have a Min Pin and a German Shepherd.
And then your mom has?
Two minute pinch, yeah.
Okay. We wondered about the whole Min Pin thing.
Yeah, not really. But yeah, so we'll go upstairs, and he knows he's getting his raw food. And so he gets excited for that. When I let him in upstairs, he just starts spinning and not obsessively, but he's
happy.
Yeah, he's just a little
happy dance.
Yeah, exactly. when he's being fed, I use that time to try to have him bond. Trust us. I do the touch. And so someone, usually me, will have his raw food, and I'll have him on a sofa bed, a little sofa bed or whatever for dogs. And so we're kind of at that level a little bit. And so anyways, he knows to come close to my face and touch my nose. And then I give him his part of his food, and we just do that. And then, he hangs out. I work from home, so he just hangs out with us. I walk him a couple times a day.
Does he want to go for his walks?
Yeah, he gets excited. He mm-hmm. does now, yeah.
And are the walks pleasant for him?
I think so, but at the same time, I don't know. Because sometimes we'll walk and, I won't hear something, but he will. And he'll just stop and be like, no, I don't want to go anymore. And so I'll pick him up. And then I'll continue to walk, and then when I think it's quiet again, and then we'll kind of restart, and I'll put him back down. And mm-hmm. I mean, before I pick him up, I tell him, I crouch down, tell him it's okay, have a treat for him to see if he'll take it. But if he's past that and he's too scared, then I'll pick him up.
Okay. And so then he hits a meal in the evening as well, mm-hmm. and he likes that meal too.
Yes.
Okay. And so what is he like if somebody comes up to you and wants to say hello to you?
He probably will do a little bit of avoidance.
Uh-huh.
I usually have, when people are like, oh my God, he's so cute, I'll be like, oh, you want to give him a treat?
I'll pay you $5.
and he'll take the treat, but he's his head will be low, and you know, he's just scared, you know, of the stranger. Usually they don't try to pet him because I'll tell them, but sometimes they will. Like this one woman went to kiss him and, you know, he went to nip her. I'm like, why would you do that to my dog? But
Darwin Award.
Yeah. But yeah, he won't like go up to a stranger or anything like that. Or
okay. You know. So if he's out in your yard or he's in a house or whatever, mm-hmm. and you call him, does he come to you joyfully and happily now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't.
Okay. And you've had him since October?
Since January last year.
Since January. So it's a little over a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Yes.
How does he do when you have him out and about without your other dogs?
Without my other dogs? I don't really know I would want to say that he's more confident with my dogs, but when I walk him at my sister's, it's pretty much the same. Yeah, if I'm with my other dogs, he still will hear something and crouch down and just stop. I don't think that.
So they're not kicking in a little confidence, some kind of, he's not gaining more confidence.
Well, so my German Shepherd, one of my other German Shepherds died, and so my other German Shepherd who confided in her and took all her cues from her, because they were both fearful dogs, so my other dog is not as confident, and so my German Shepherd, and I have to walk my other min pin separate because he's cuckoo.
That comes when you order min pins.
Well, he was attacked by a dog, and so now he has that. You know, and I called it before it even happened. I asked the lady to get her dog, and anyways, but yeah, so I don't think that he, I mean, him being around the other dogs, I can tell he's happy and confident, but on walks, I don't think it really makes a difference for him.
Okay. Are
there certain people or types of people, like men or kids, that he's more afraid of than others?
I would say kids for sure, yeah. Because just they're louder and do weird things to him. To him, you know.
Yeah. No, we know they're weird. So. What about when people come over to your house, how does he behave then?
He'll bark. He now just recently started to bark. Like if my mom comes in the room or my brother, or whoever, my brother's staying with us right now, and he'll bark in fear. But then it becomes like an exhilaration, like for him. But he's just been doing it for maybe like 2-3 weeks now. But yeah, he's not. I mean, we don't really have too many people come over. I'm trying to think. Like if my boyfriend comes over, he'll just like bark or cower and like go.
Just kind of go away.
Yeah. I mean, or he'll like follow whatever my dogs are doing.
Okay. Does he follow you around the house?
Yeah, but not as much. So I think he's getting better.
He follows the dogs around.
Yeah.
He kind of hangs out with the dogs.
Yeah. He basically, like, they're all together and he just kind of follows whatever the pack does. Yeah.
Sure. Makes sense. So what are your goals for him?
To be more comfortable with people.
With strangers?
Yeah, with everybody.
With everybody.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't feel like if I'm, like, I try to, you know, entice him to, like, play, and he just is like, nah. But when he does play, so say my dog barks because he's hungry. And he has a very high-pitched sound.
This is the other dog?
Yeah, my min pin, Cody. And so it actually gets him excited and, like, yeah, you know, and he'll start gnawing on a blanket or his dog bed, but he doesn't actually like, he won't play with me or like won't, he'll play with my other dog, but my other dog is more like, he plays more with my mom's dog. And he tries to play with him. He just sort of like, whatever. Like the only time my dog will play with him, it usually starts off by my dog getting jealous of him and humping him, and then they'll play. Usually, or if they're already playing, and then they actually, like, give him the time of day, then maybe. Mm. But, yeah.
How did you feel about putting him on the ground?
No, fine. He likes his bed. So this is his bed. He just has always been, like, I bring this bed with him everywhere, and he just feels comfortable. He can put his head down if he doesn't want to see something.
Okay. Aspen, you want to meet the little dog? Can you get him out of his bed? Just take him out of his bed.
Okay, I know.
There we go. That's been okay. How far is it, are his walks?
Probably just usually around the block, and it takes a while.
Because he stops.
Yeah, between him like literally walking slow, and then him like doing his stops and stuff, it takes him a minute.
A different person, huh?
Mm-hmm. Nice calling.
Yeah. Want to try it again? Mm-hmm. So you said lots of tongue flicks here.
When is it that he chews on his?
Oh, his back.
Why was he doing that?
I know. He literally will just like. I mean, I know he's not piercing his skin, but he literally like will with his teeth like gnaw on his.
When does he do that? Under what circumstances?
Like if I'm, I mean, it'll be calm and we'll be on the sofa and I'll look over and he's just pawing on his back leg.
How do you feel about just dropping his leash and letting him?
Yeah, that's fine.
Is he still a little bit reluctant to take food out of your mouth, or is he good with that?
No, he's fine now.
There's
no
hesitance.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. My sister was like, "Oh, you're gonna teach him to beg." I'm like, "Well, that's better than like him being in fear." But he's actually not a beggar. I mean, occasionally, like he'll itch his way up to my mom if she's eating something on the sofa. But he's not that confident yet to try to steal anything or do anything.
Okay.
See, he usually with strangers they give him food, so he always smells our hands to see if there's
a
treat.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's reasonable to smell our hands anyway.
Oh, yeah, no. But that, I think that some, like, he'll literally go to people's hands, and if there's no treat, he's like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
not. I shouldn't give her one.
Oh, you can give her one.
He knows what
that is. That was quick. That's a quick one. Okay. Anybody else? Can you get underneath here and sit down and see?
Do you want some more?
There we go.
There we go.
Got one there.
You want? Just hold it. Do you want me to get closer?
We have to wait for a bed here. Don't you love his little collar?
Yeah.
He glows.
He smiles. Mr.
Smiles. Yeah, very good.
So ordinarily, like just now, he got fearful of something off his head. And he's asking to get into your lap. Would you ordinarily put him in your lap?
If he puts his paws on me, then I would. Because that was a big thing, like picking him up, he was very fearful. So I had to teach him, he used to ask me, like when he would put his paws up on our sofa or whatever, then we would pick him up.
He's quite a nice little dog.
Yeah.
Very nice.
You are, even though you don't have many teeth.
I gotta say, even after having this one for 2 to 2.5 years or whatever it's been, she got her teeth cleaned recently, and the vet had to get me to come and get her out of the cage. So, I mean, because she said, "No, you can't touch me." So
yeah.
I mean, this looks pretty good. Yeah.
I think you've done a sterling job.
Yeah.
You really do.
But he still like does the licking and the yawning. And,
yes,
like,
he does. And so start thinking of the licking and the yawning as not only being stress signals, but also being coping signals. Like I'm doing it. I'm walking. I am this. I am that. So he's actually pulling himself together.
But even at home, like all the time, and like the other time, you know.
Okay, so. Does he have a safe place in the house?
Yeah, he has his crate.
He has his crate. Does he like his crate?
He'll go in there willingly for his food. He doesn't cry or get upset in there, but I don't know if he, like my other dog, when she would get scared, she would run to her crate.
Uh-huh.
But he doesn't necessarily do that, no.
Okay. And you said he really liked to, when he's scared, he tends to find walls to walk along?
Yeah, he doesn't do that anymore, but yeah.
That's what he did when you first got him? Okay. When you put his harness on?
He gets excited, yeah.
He gets excited then? Is he up on a countertop, or you put it on the floor?
On the floor, yeah.
Okay.
I was just going to say, she said she wants him to meet kids. Why does he have to meet children?
I don't care about children. No, I don't want to have children. We don't. Yeah. No. Oh, no, I don't care.
Good for you. She kind of wants him to meet people.
Yeah, in general, yeah.
So, yeah, my first recommendation would be to shift your expectations. Mm-hmm. Okay, he doesn't need to meet people.
Right.
I mean, if they're willing to do what we did here, mm-hmm. and to sit and go down on his level and let him approach them, which most people on the street
right,
are not,
right,
yeah. then that's one thing. But, you know, think of it a different way. If you have a dog that really wants to meet everybody, then they are probably not as bonded to you. They want to go meet everybody. Or put it this way, if they think that everybody's going to give them a treat, like her, it makes them actually harder to be with you. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, if he were to meet somebody who was overly assertive and who thought that just giving him a treat meant that they could pet him or give him a big kiss, which is what happens, then that will actually traumatize him, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, no, I don't, my other German Shepherds, they didn't care for people at all.
Yeah.
I don't care about that. It's just, I just feel bad that even at home, I feel like he's having...
Okay, because I would, if people want to meet him, I would just say he's sick.
Okay, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Does he like your boyfriend? Does he get along okay with your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
yeah, he likes my brother.
Because I'm working with some people right now who are frustrated with their dog because their dog wants to visit with everybody. there's never any, you know, perfect situation.
Yeah, no, I don't care if he likes people or not. I just want him to be comfortable.
So you would rather not see the stress signals and whatnot. So
yeah.
Just thinking of it from the point of view of people who want to meet him. Then if he believes that something is going to happen to make him nervous, he will be more nervous in anticipation. Mm-hmm. So if he thinks people can come up and you're going to let them meet him, then he might start the whole yawning process. Think of taking a dog into a vet. As soon as you walk into the vet, they start yawning and stressing out and all that kind of stuff. So what they're doing is anticipating that bad things are going to happen. Mm-hmm. So if you take away that even the potential for something bad to happen.
Right.
Like, no, you're not going to have to meet somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
right.
not going to
yeah.
happen.
Yeah.
You're going to watch a diminution in the amount of stress the dog has. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
Yeah.
So, Flocka does not need to meet anybody on trails. Mm-hmm. So, Aspen will take care of that. and Heather, our other dog, would also take care of it. Although, for a while there, she was doing the again, stay out thing. So, But the fact is that when you expect a dog that has been probably neglected and possibly some minor kind of abuse, even inadvertent abuse is still abuse, then he may not be able to cope with it. Or maybe it's going to take another year for him to start to get better at it or whatever. Meanwhile, we want to drop his stress levels. You have to say, okay, you're not going to need to do things that make you uncomfortable. We're trying to keep you in your comfort zone.
Right.
So you go for a walk. He sees somebody coming. He's certainly little. You can pick him up really easily. Did you teach him to hop up into your arms? You can just kind of go up and have him start to learn to jump up in your arms, which is kind of fun. You could do it right now, like up and then bring him back. Good boy. So you give him a cue that says that you're going to come up here, and then he comes up, and so he can go. Thank goodness. All right, so that's going to help his stress, I think, that way. And then he doesn't have to meet anybody unless they are going to be somebody who is a close friend of yours.
Okay.
That's my, that to me, that's a good criteria. Are these people going to be somebody he sees a lot? In that case, he needs to get to know them. And certainly if they can have be sitting down or whatever, that's a really good thing.
Yeah, usually, I mean, it's only been maybe 20 people who have given him like a treat on a walk or something. But yeah, and when they do, he's either, I'm holding him so he's like comfortable.
Is he comfortable though?
You're
holding him, but there's somebody coming close to him.
True, yeah.
So, again, I don't know, you know, we're going to shake hands, right? If I start shaking hands with you and I keep shaking hands with you,
I'm getting a little too close. Right, yeah.
And that happens with dogs all the time. People get really close and they go, you just said the cute little thing. Oh, my God.
Yeah. No, I tell them prior, don't do that.
And then somebody kisses him.
Oh, yeah, that would be
so, yeah, there are, people don't take instruction.
True, yeah, totally.
You know? So if you just make it be like, yeah, you've got very bad breath. He's not feeling well, yeah.
The other thing is, when I was in Santa Cruz, we got a million little chihuahuas in. And I think that package, and that's a really tiny package, I think that a lot of that insecurity and fear just come from that package. Because it's a giant world that they live in,
right.
And they're vulnerable.
Yeah.
And so I get the feeling that you want him to feel more comfortable in his skin and just to be able to relax and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see where you're thinking, okay, I just want him to be comfortable with life because he's safe now. Mm-hmm. But I do think that a lot of the tiny ones I've seen, they tremble half the time and they're just...
Thankfully he actually doesn't tremble.
He's not trembling. But they're probably more prey than they are predator.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're certainly very vulnerable and they know they're very vulnerable. You know, when you're up at the size of somebody's ankle, it's a big world out there. So, which leads to what I would do to help him be comfortable in a house. I would give him a perch, you know, something like that.
Okay.
Something where you could start teaching him to go over there. It can be a game,
okay.
Right? But what we want to do is actually make it off the ground.
So that he has a little bit, so
what would count?
Okay, he's on it all the time.
Okay, well just teach him to go up there.
Okay.
Teach him to, so when somebody comes and you're seeing a little bit of that stress stuff happening, to, you know, just tell him up on the couch, and he goes up on the couch, you can reward him up on the couch. And then if he does not want, if you think he's too nervous, he should not get attention there, except for from you, obviously. So that it is a really safe place. You could even put one of his little beds on the couch so he can get tucked into there. And I bet what would happen, I can't be sure of this, but I bet what would happen is that when people came over that were starting to make him nervous, he actually has an escape route.
Mm-hmm.
A place he can go that he knows he's safe. And since he doesn't really want to go into his crate, he may actually feel trapped in his crate. I don't know. But if he goes there, then he can sit there and look out at the world and go, okay, I am good.
Right.
This is good. And I bet you'd see a diminution in the amount of stress signals you're getting from him. Because he looks, he's a really stable little guy.
But he's still.
But you've done a really good job. You should be very proud of yourself.
Does he like to burrow under things?
No, he like for the longest he would not get under the covers.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
This one is only happy when she does. just totally underneath covers. And she looks at you and goes, and you know what she wants, and she wants to get underneath something, you know, whether that's a shirt or whatever.
And say, lift the blanket.
Yeah, I just need to do this now. But I mean, he actually he holds eye contact better than the dogs that I saw this week that were here, who would either growl or run away. So he actually, I think you've done a fantastic job. He obviously has a very nice, stable temperament. And so what's going on is you're getting back to that temperament.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not naturally really nervous and worried and fearful. It's just that circumstances made it happen like that. Which actually is, you know, a point worth taking, right? That if he's a dog like Flocka probably, I mean, or another really nervous dog, you can get back to a certain level, but you can't go beyond that, right? Because that's who they are. Whereas with him, he's just a little more stable, a little more thoughtful. I think, than some dogs who are just very reactive. You guys see what, you know.
He seems like a thinker.
Yeah. I think he really is. He's going, okay, so this is an interesting world. Kind of like this. And then he, when he gets nervous, he'd let you know. So I think a safe space is going to be really good. And I also would be very, very careful about anybody who's being introduced to him. Just really.
Yeah. And then what about like when he does start gnawing on his foot?
What are you doing now?
I just try to like redirect, like I try to pet him or just. Like,
how about, and you know, he didn't want to play because that was the other thing he needed.
So his playing, and this is like, so he would gnaw on, and it's really weird too. If like, if I see him, and he could gnaw on whatever, I mean, he could rip up my glasses and I wouldn't yell at him, like, or whatever. But he, like, for whatever reason, if he's gnawing on something or playing, having fun, and I look, he'll stop.
Oh.
He stops. Usually, not always, but like for the longest, and occasionally I'll turn around and he'll be in like, you know, one of my dog's bed, and he'll be rolling around, gnawing on something, a toy even, like, which is rare for him. And I just turn, you know, and I was like, well, you know, and I didn't even say anything. I try to, you know, just let him play because I know he does stop. And yeah, and he'll still just be like, oh, what? I wasn't doing anything.
Any suggestions for that?
I try not to look at, yeah, I mean, like, when I was, I'll try to, like, video him when he's not looking. He's just like, oh.
Will he, if you try to engage him in play, will he do it?
So the only way, you know, usually not. I'll take toys, and he's like, nah. The times that he will play is when, usually, my dog, Kobe, is doing his high-pitch, feed me now, and it'll get him riled up. And since he likes to gnaw on the blankets, I'll put my hand on the blanket and, like, play with him. And I think he's playing. I've been meaning to get on tape, but he does, like, he really bites hard when he's playing. And, like, it was funny, he actually did this morning, and I was telling my brother, I was like, put your hand and, like, see how hard he, because he really actually, is biting.
That was not a stress yawn.
That was
I'm tired and comfortable yawn.
Will he do, like, what if he's doing like a, have you given him a Kong? Will he stop if he's doing like a food puzzle? Will he also stop if you look at him?
I haven't used food puzzles. I think that if they made noise, like, he wouldn't.
But like a Kong, like if you put something that he loves, like if you fed him out of his Kong. I mean, I'm not,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't. I have to try that.
I'm just curious.
Possibility. Get some cat toys.
Okay. Mm. We have tiny little cat toys. Yeah. I don't have catnip.
The ones with the little fur mice.
Oh, okay.
Okay. and just draw it. Okay. See if you can get a little bit of prey drive going.
Okay.
Yeah. Or even like a like one of those fishing lines or something to see it. You know, if you're moving it around, they'll hop on and try to chase it.
Had like we have like this long snake thing, and I'll try to drag it and see if nothing. The only time literally he'll play is like if you're not watching him, like he'll pick up a toy and get excited, and and then you know I just glance over and he's like, oh, it drops it.
It's just like those dogs that won't eat if you're looking at them. You know, they don't want to. It always remind me of little kids that hide behind their mom's legs. You know, you know, it's not even that they've been punished for doing something. It's just that they think that living is wrong somehow. So, I you know, but I might try some of those. They make cat toys that are very fuzzy.
But then the other thing is, when thinking of fuzzy, I gave him a poor rabbit ear the other day, and he doesn't chew. He'll just, like, I had to get tongs and, like, get it out of his mouth. Like, he was just, yeah, exactly. And,
oh, he's eating it.
Oh, well, the rabbit ear was for him to eat, but he doesn't actually like chew it, and so it was like he was like trying to get it out, and then he'll chew it, and then he's like, okay, fine, but it's still there.
What teeth are missing?
Like just these ones here.
So just the front ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he should be able to chew them, but I guess he doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was I was like, okay, that's the last time, because you know he was, you know, growling and it was hard, and I was like.
Maybe for chewing purposes, a bone about that big that can't get in his mouth.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, something like that would probably be better, because then he's not going to get that caught, but he can still clean some of those teeth off. But that might be good. I don't know. Anybody else have any suggestions? I think he's just a lovely little dog.
Yeah.
You know, I think both of you are lucky to have found each other.
Aww.
Well, that's nice.
And then the other thing with toys. So my mom's dog loves to play with toys, like constantly with a squeaker. And so we just, she can't play with any of her squeaker toys.
Oh, because he freaks out.
Oh, yeah, he will escape. He'll go through the little bars and go down to my room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you could try having her play with the dog with the squeaky in another room with the door closed while you're giving him a Kong or giving him something so that he actually starts getting used to the, with something good happening to him. And then gradually opening the door and then eventually having him in the room. But I bet if he, since this seems to be something that he can set up, right? Because you could make it so that the, what's the other dog's name?
Mia.
So that Mia could play with her squeaky toy at a given time when you're all ready to do some counter conditioning or we can't call it play treatment for him because he didn't want to play, but you could do some treats. You could actually have him find treats under, you can put like treats underneath a piece of paper towel or something and have him go and find treats under there or something like that and see if he can do that without freaking out because of the noise behind it. So you'd have to do it from far away. It's like when you're clicker training a dog. A lot of dogs are really scared of the clicker, so you have to put the clicker in your pocket or hide it someplace or whatever so that they don't get freaked out by it, and eventually they're okay. And then the next time, if you don't use the clicker for 6 months and you bring it back out again, they get scared all over again. You have to start the whole process. Yeah. That's my German Shepherd. That's what he did. Yeah, he actually seems to be doing that pretty well.
This is high level stuff here.
The first week we got him a baby carrier. And it was like for a baby.
Yeah.
We just put like a little sack in there, so it would like tie, I don't know how to explain it, but anyways, and so he'd be in there, that was head out, and then like he would be able to put his head in there, and we would put a blanket over, so when we would bring him out, so he would get used to everything, because you could tell that when we tried to walk him in Santa Cruz, when it was just really quiet in front of our house, it was just too much for him, and so, yeah, we just tried to like get him acclimated to all the different sounds.
Yeah, so you were doing what you did again. You've done a really, really good job. You should be proud of yourself. And
I just wish you'd be not on your little leg anymore. Like
okay,
baby.
So yeah, I mean the problem is that the in order to stop the leg gnawing, you have to make it not rewarding. And right now, it's rewarding. I mean, for whatever reason, that's giving him a feeling of it's necessary for him. And now with some dogs, I had a Rottweiler that would do it. He'd lick his paw, and I would just tell him to knock it off, and I'd give him something else to do. But it's really hard to do with a little dog like this, to say knock it off, because as soon as you knock it off, the dog's like, I've just died going to hell, right? So you try to do something else, you reinforce an alternate behavior as soon as you see him doing it. It probably would be better than saying, it's okay, don't want to do that.
Right.
Try to have him play a game or whatever. But there is a certain amount of that that's probably just going to happen for a while. I mean, they do tend to do, and then it gets raw, and then they do it more. It's getting raw, and then they do it more. I mean, you can also use something, here's a possibility, okay? I'm not sure I'd go there, but what you can do is you can create an aversion to a smell, and it, like, you get some vanilla, and you put a little dab of vanilla on his nose, just vanilla, you know, nothing else, and he'll go, because it's awful, and then you put one part vanilla, 10 parts water, and
okay,
just put it on his back paws.
Oh, okay.
So he'll start licking his back paws and go, groove, that stuff.
Gotcha.
And that creates an aversion.
Okay.
So if you really want to go there, that would be as close to an aversion that I would do. Yeah.
Is he causing any medical issues with the licking? I mean, is there
actually get a fungus in there.
Yeah, my bully would lick between and get it.
Yeah, not that,
so.
Not that I
didn't look like it from what I saw.
Okay.
But yeah.
Well, that sucks.
Trisha?
The other thing is, it's probably a self-calming mm-hmm. behavior. Have you thought about CBD or anything like that?
I wanted to see here first, but yeah, I was gonna. I need to go to class and everything on how to dress up by a vet and everything. So
I mean, I don't know. There are just so many anecdotes whether it works or not, and there's so many that doesn't seem to do anything for it.
Right, totally, yeah.
And some that it does.
Right, yeah.
So we did flock at a time and we stopped for a while, and I think that we discovered that yes, it does help her. Okay. It certainly does not take all the anxiety away, but it does give her something.
Yeah. It's just kind of a reach, but especially for older dogs and like that, could it possibly be also licking because it's a joint problem?
It can easily, and it often is. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, if they've got some arthritis or something somewhere, mm-hmm. they'll start
So you'll see that on their right. legs, and right. then sometimes on their hip. Mm-hmm. You'll see that kind of thing, especially if they have been really energetic and they're getting older, but it's also something that occurs kind of, it may even start off from an injury, you know, for all we know, but you've seen people who do this, and it's kind of an aching, and then they're just doing it trying to make themselves feel better or whatever.
And certainly an embedded foxtail or something, so I'm sure you've had that checked out, right?
What's that?
Like there, if there's an embedded foxtail.
Oh yeah, no. He gets turmeric and green-lipped mussel for destroying them. He gets from drinking and then like, yeah. He gets,
you know, you're in a room with about 20 dog nuts.
it's kind of okay.
You can't say anything that it was.
Everybody does that. Okay, so is this helpful?
Yes.
Okay. You need to congratulate yourself every day.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You really do. You've done a great job.
He's super cute.
Thank you. And he really is adorable. He says, yes, I am loved.